The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
All right, it's 4 p.m. on Wall Street. Do you know where your money is?
Welcome to Financial Issues, where we align reality with truth. Conservative talk radio you can count on. Financial issues that you need to know.
We face a disintegrating economy, a weakened defense, and an energy policy based on the sharing of scarcity. We will simply apply to government the common sense that we all use in our daily lives.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. Looks like all the futures in the futures market, all the indices in positive territory right now. We'll see if that holds. Looks like the S&P has been kind of going back and forth since the opening of the pre-market open. Looks like the S&P has been going negative, positive, but not a lot of movement. But nonetheless, we're looking green right now, and I guess that is all good news. Our condolences and prayers go out this morning to the 9 U.S. citizens killed and their families, six of which were children. This highway attack in Mexico, gunmen, or I would say terrorists, in Mexico ambushing a convoy of SUVs carrying U.S. citizens, killing three women, six children, and then setting all of them and the vehicles on fire. The incident has led President Trump to call for a war on Mexican drug cartels. President Trump said that the United States is willing to help Mexico wage war on these drug cartels in the country following these attacks. President Trump said that if Mexico needs any help or requests any help to clean out these monsters, the United States stands ready, willing, and able to get involved and do a job quickly and effectively. That was a tweet sent out by President Trump. It looks like the fairly new president of Mexico said, well, he said this, we've tried that and it didn't work. So how about you don't try it, but do it. And if it takes some U.S. troops, these were American citizens. And the U.S. has the right to go in there and do whatever is necessary, in my opinion. And we need desperately to, yes, do something about this. We need to go in. It doesn't look like Mexico is going to allow that. And we'll have to just hope for the best. But we need to get in there, begin to clean this up, or they're going to continue to rule, and this terrorism is going to continue to go on. At the very same time, we need to be waging war on demand in the United States of America. You know, people have asked me so many times, and so many people have requested that I do some things, but people have asked me all the time what I would do in Washington. The last thing I want to do is go to Washington. I joked with somebody yesterday about that. But if I had a choice to do anything I wanted, I'd like to head up the team that's going to wage war on demand. This notion that we have got to do, well, let's just make it legal. Make all the drugs legal. That will get rid of the evil of the illegal competition in the drug wars. No, that would be rolling over and caving in to the evil of the drug lords. That's what it would do. I'm not for caving or rolling over. Let's attack demand. We've done this in the past with other things. We need to do it again. And it's got to be a lot of money and an all-out war. We can win that if we get on the offense immediately with incredible marketing campaigns that is driven in every school in the nation, every channel on television, social media in the nation, and we begin to wage war on this, just like we should be waging war on vaping. We're talking about it. We're not doing anything about it. It is very discouraging, and I can't imagine what the communities and the people feel like, the family of these women and their children. Well, we're headed off to Amarillo. That's where I'm headed out to right after the program. So we're heading to Amarillo, and I hope you're going to be there tomorrow night. Not Amarillo, I'm sorry. Hold on. Everybody's panicking. I thought Waco was this week, everybody's saying. Yeah, it's Waco. I'll be at Waco Thursday, tomorrow evening, 6:30, we start. Now, from what I understand, we're going to have a pretty big crowd at this town hall meeting, so I hope you'll get there a little early, get the seat you want. We have plenty of room, but from what I am told, we're going to have a pretty decent crowd. I hope you'll come on out to the town hall meeting tomorrow evening, so we got plenty of room. Just come right from work. Whether you work in the fields or you work in an office, whatever it is, just come on out. You don't need any money. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. We don't ask for anything. All you got to do is show up. And we're going to have a great time. I haven't been in Waco in about 5 years, maybe longer, since I've done a town hall meeting in Waco. So I'm excited about that. It's been equally as long since I've been in Amarillo, and we're doing that a week from tomorrow night in Amarillo, 6:30 again. So you can go to the website, financialissues.org, click on events, and you'll see, get the locations of that. Now, in Amarillo, at lunchtime, I'm going to be in Borger, Texas. In Borger, I believe it's about 45 minutes or so from Amarillo. I've been to Borger one other time. And we're going to be in Borger, and we're speaking at a luncheon. I'm speaking at a luncheon for Republican women. And I guess in the surrounding counties there that come together and ask me to speak at their luncheon. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be a great time. I believe you're welcome to come out to that. It's in Borger, Texas. The address and where we're going to be, again, on the website at financialissues.org. That's going to be a lunchtime a week from tomorrow. And then that evening, we're going to drive down to Amarillo or over to Amarillo, and we're going to do a town hall meeting at 6:30. So all of you great, great people, folks, partners, supporters of Financial Issues in Amarillo area, out of the Kingdom Keys Network and other networks, man, I hope you're coming out because we're really, really excited to be there. I haven't been there in, again, 5 or 6 years to Amarillo. Last time we were there, we were standing room only. I suspect this will be the same, so you might want to get there early. I am a little concerned about seating, so get there early. Anyway, that's what we've got on the schedule. I'm heading to Amarillo here this morning, so hope to see you there. Not Amarillo. I did it again. Come on, Ian, just get on the air and yell at me and tell me. Anyway, Waco, looking forward to it. All right, 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call, you are welcome to do that, 610-363-1110. Let me just talk a little bit about where we are with the markets. So yesterday, of course, was an okay day. The Dow Industrials rose about 30 points, making another all-time record high. The S&P down 3 points. So the S&P today, if it's up 4 points, it's going to be another all-time record high. NASDAQ all-time record high yesterday, up slightly. ISM Service Sector Index, wow. I'll talk about it as soon as we get back. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back right after this.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be three. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn invites you to share your pro-life message through sharing heartbeats. You see, when a young woman considering abortion sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her preborn baby.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasound sessions in the nation, sharing heartbeats with young moms in crisis to help them choose life. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. ISM Service Sector Index improved to 54.7. Now, they were expecting the October reading to be somewhere around 52.6. Or that's what it was in September. They were expecting October to be 53.4. And we ended up with 54.7. That was very good for the markets yesterday. Beat expectations. So good news, service sector, the biggest part of our economy, so very important. Now, the markets are signaling a little bit of an end to some of the global trade and manufacturing recession that has been going on. Manufacturing hasn't been a problem just here in America. It's been a problem throughout the world, and they're saying it's kind of stocks and economies kind of signaling that we might have hit a bottom there on manufacturing. We had here in the U.S. yesterday, again, ISM manufacturing had its second month in a row of slightly higher expansion. You remember the month of August, right? Everybody was, this is the end. This is it. Manufacturing's in the tank. It's going to be ugly. This is the beginning of the recession, on and on. Well, it looks like now what August was possibly a bottom. I don't want to call two straight months in a row of, you know, I don't want to call August the bottom. We'll have to wait and see. But again, our manufacturing index along with our service sector was up slightly. So exports improved globally for the first time in 4 months and improved here at the U.S. I don't care much about exports. Not a big part of our economy, but nevertheless, it was up. Global stocks look like they may have bottomed. I think it's too early to say that, but some are saying that. But it looks like global stocks have somewhat bottomed. Indications of a pickup certainly seem to be here. Global stocks today are mixed. Investors are waiting further developments in trade negotiations between U.S. and China. Things have been relatively quiet, but I think quiet is good. It's okay. U.S. stocks right now are just positive for the same reason as global stocks are. Asia, Shanghai Composite, today, they're closed there today right now. So Shanghai Composite slipped about a half of 1%. Hong Kong, South Korea gauges ended up the day just about unchanged. So Asia markets not feeling the same as some of the Eurozone industrial prices. The final PMI or composite purchasing managers index, the final numbers looked like the Eurozone area showed regionally in regions maintained close to stagnation. Isn't that horrible that they're looking at stagnation as a good thing? In October, according to some, that stagnation is fine. It's okay. The index rose 50.6 from 50.1, and that is an improvement. It's kind of good. They're finally starting to see some industrial prices picking up, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. So we'll see. We'll see if that can hold. It's only, but it is nice that they're seeing some inflation coming in. It's been 7 years, folks, 7 years. The Eurozone has thrown everything they can at inflation and nothing has worked. So maybe this is the beginning. They can only hope. Germany, by the way, was the only country that maintained its position still in contraction territory in October. But factory orders in Germany did go up slightly. They increased slightly. So that was good news. So European Union Statistics Agency, Eurostat, said prices for factories from factories at the gates leaving in the 19 countries that share the euro rose by 0.1%. But that was after September, half of 1%. So that's a, you know, that's a pretty good swing. We'll see if it can hold. 610-363-1110 if you want to cue your call. Right now, it looks like investors are still in a little bit of a shock. Some very interesting numbers come out. $3.4 trillion are sitting in cash. $3.4 trillion still in cash. Now, there's an awful lot of people that have been sitting in cash for 2 years. A friend of mine went to listen to somebody speak and talk and, you know, was kind of fired up and said, well, that was great. You know, I said, the guy's been wrong for 10 years. 10 years. I mean, it's the story is, when it comes to economics, if we say the same thing long enough, eventually we're going to be a euro. I'm going to be really smart because it's going to happen. You get excited about things. It's all doom and gloom. It's all doom and gloom. So think about this. $3.4 trillion sitting on the sidelines because everybody has been nervous about the markets for the last year and a half, buying into the mainstream media, not looking at the numbers, not looking at the analytics, not looking at the data that has been coming in, giving us some indication of the underlying fundamentals. I would like to ask those same investors and traders that have been sitting on the sidelines for so long, nothing in the markets, everything's in money market account because they're saving their account from the downturn. And all they've done is prolonged their savings without any gains because when the downturn does come, they've already been in savings for a long time. So they missed out the 20 or 30% gains that they would have had. So now we get a downturn of 5, 10% and they're still behind the eight ball. I don't understand, but people need to wake up and understand that there are some economic data points out there that we can be looking at to try to take a good picture of this. And to, rather than to get sucked in to mainstream media and throw all your money in a money market account for 2 years, you need to think. Now, fortunately, we have been blessed that our partners haven't done that because that is not the camp that we have been in here at Financial Issues. We've been in the camp of, yes, a little bit higher cash position than we would like to have, but we still have a great deal exposed to the markets, and there's been big payoffs for that. Anyway, but stocks are rising, and now a report says that their nerves are calming. Their nerves are calming. Well, their nerves are probably a little annoyed right now because they've been out of the market for so long. But they're saying that that is going to lead to the view of huge cash. It's, the notion is that this $3.4 trillion, so it's an enormous amount of money, is going to start flowing out of these money market accounts and start heading into the market, and that's going to give us the next new highs. So let me get this straight. You sat all your money in a money market account, waited for the markets to reach all-time highs, and now you think you ought to start getting in. Yeah, that's a good strategy. Look, folks, the only strategy that works, and the more people that understand this, the better off they're going to be, is the strategy of being a long-term investor and getting in for the long term. And long term does not mean 2 years, does not mean 2 months. It means 8 years, 10 years. And watch, just look at the statistical data at the probability of losses after 8 years. After 10 and a half years, it goes to zero. Get in and stay in, just have good, solid companies. You don't need to take a lot of risk to make money. But nonetheless, I don't know. If these assets begin to funnel out of money market accounts and start coming into the markets, look out, because it will be the next leg up. Now, some are saying that they believe that the $3.4 trillion could grow to $4.4 trillion over the upcoming year. By the way, right now, we're $1 trillion over, $1 trillion over the highest level that it has been in a decade. Interesting. All right, let me go to phone 610-363-1110. Let me go to Charles. Charles from West Virginia. Hey, Charles.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I just have a quick anecdote that Gary Ballard passed on in one of his end-of-day columns.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. It said, if Donald Trump walked across the Potomac River to save a drowning girl, the next day's headlines would read, Trump can't swim.
Yeah, that would be about it.
Don't you see that?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's no
Nobody
doubt about
what
it.
He does.
No doubt about it. And but you know, they continue to make fools of themselves. You know, I find it interesting, Charles, because nobody really wants to call. It's okay, President calls out the media, but you know, I did a little look at my Twitter page, which I don't necessarily spend a lot of time on. But you know, I sent out a tweet about Virginia. And then I went down, I was looking at all these very controversial tweets that I send out. Now, the vast majority of my followers, I would assume, are Christians. You know, nobody retweets those controversial tweets. They don't want to do it. I mean, even the people that are following me don't have the guts to retweet any of it. They don't want to do it. They might offend some. Well, I might offend somebody. It's not about offending somebody or not offending anybody. It's about speaking the truth, about raising awareness. You know, I talked about Virginia, and I said, you know, how could this possibly be when you've, you know, and then I said sarcastically, oh, I forgot. The murder of a baby after it is born is okay. It's socially acceptable. And I went on about a couple other things. You know, the politicians, blackface politicians, that's okay. That's socially acceptable. If a Democrat had... If a Republican had done those things, you know, oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine. What did Virginia do? They voted everybody in. So you know what I said? I'm looking forward to Arlington and Alexandria and Fairfax all becoming sanctuary cities now. And by the way, nobody's going to have guns because the reason they all won was because Bloomberg outspent the NRA on gun control. We'll be right back.
What is the most important truth that you'll ever hear? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ? The cross of Jesus Christ just screams out, I love you.
Discover the power that is available to you through the cross of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Veterans Day, a day reserved to pause and remember the men and women who have served our country and fought to protect our safety and freedom for over two centuries. Many have forgotten what Veterans Day symbolizes. It's a day to honor and remember our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who've made great sacrifices and even laid down their lives so that we can continue to enjoy the freedom we so often take for granted. Hi, I'm J.J. Jasper. This Veterans Day weekend will air an interview with former prisoner of war, Colonel Carlisle Smitty Harris, along with his wife, Louise. Smitty spent nearly 8 years as a POW after he was shot down during the Vietnam War. He and his fellow prisoners were tortured, held in solitary confinement, but maintained their sanity with a secret tap code. I hope you'll be listening Saturday, November the 9th at noon and Sunday the 10th at 3 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
I'm not sure how many celebrities and athletes and people that we lift up in this culture and want to emulate or focus upon, I'm not sure how many of them have to fall and falter before we finally realize that the things that we celebrate in their lives, they've got power, they've got money, they've got achievement, they've got all of those things. And we look at that and say, man, if I only had that. And so they become iconic
right.
in the culture. And all of those things cannot give you a life that's fulfilling. There will always be the search for something else.
For additional Christian resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app. Available at the App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and the Windows Store.
Another victim of mismanagement, CVS is closing 22 stores. Yvonne and I have a joke. Whenever we see a building going up on a corner somewhere, we say, well, it's either a Walgreens or a CVS or both, one on each corner. But, you know, they've for years overbuilt. They've got taken over. Obviously, it's owned by Aetna now. The goal was they were going to make all these stores into semi-clinics. That's not working real well. And anyway, they're closing 22 stores. That's not a lot, but it's only the beginning. We always start out small, and it's only the beginning. They know probably, well, you know, we need to close 100 stores. Well, let's just start with these really bad ones. Let's just start with those first. It always ends up being more not good. Not good. 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. I was talking about social media and what was happening with Twitter and some things that I sent out. But, you know, when I look at this, what's happened in Virginia, it's crazy. You know, Republicans overwhelmingly did very, very well. We've got the first ever woman Attorney General in the state of Mississippi, Republican. That's very good news. We've got the first ever black Republican winning anything. Also, he is the first African-American Attorney General in the state of Kentucky. That was a huge win. and very good. I don't know if you know, if you've seen anything about him. He is a rising star on the Republican Party, apparently, and very articulate, great, great guy. I mean, he's not at all, does not come off at all as a politician. So probably has a bright future ahead of him, and that's good news. But Republicans overwhelmingly won. The only disappointment was the governor of Kentucky. Everything else in Kentucky went Republican, did very well. But the governor just couldn't pull it off, unfortunately. And very, very close race, but it doesn't look like. They're not calling it yet. It's too close. But nonetheless, looks to me like he's got a fair amount of votes, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 to make up. So they're saying fairly unlikely for that to happen. 610-363-1110. Cue your call up if you want. The Dow opened up slightly, not a lot, and we'll see what happens. By the way, folks, I want to remind you that be in Waco, Texas tomorrow evening, 6:30. Go to financialissues.org, click on events, and make sure you register. Waco, Texas, tomorrow evening. A week from tomorrow, we'll be in Amarillo, so you want to check that out. Xerox is considering a bid to take over HP, Hewlett-Packard. It's going to cost them $27 billion to do that, and I think it's probably going to happen. Both of those companies need help, and by joining forces, it might give them some leverage. So they will likely, I can't imagine that not happening at this point. It's likely to happen and go through. So anyway, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. I want to thank everybody that has come alongside and partnered with us, $20 a month. But I want to thank you all for the emails. I'm not sure all that I said yesterday in that first segment of the program, but I got a lot of comments. I got a lot of emails about it, so thank you. I sure do appreciate it. We're very, very encouraging, and I thank you for that encouragement this morning that I saw early this morning. So thank you. It was really a blessing. I sure do appreciate it, and thank you for that. Jason is saying good morning from Memphis. Good morning, Jason. Appreciate you checking in with us. Thank you. And I know there's I got a lot of emails from people that said they will see me tomorrow night. Linda is, I'm not sure where Linda is from, but Linda just saying blessings as well. Thank you, Linda. Somebody is asking me, how do I find dividend yields on a stock that you have on your list? Well, if you click on the stock on my list, if you go to the buy the broad list or find the buy list for that sector, not the broad buy list, and click on the symbol, you'll get a chart. A chart will pop up. And down below the chart itself, there's some detail. And in that detail, you will see what the dividend is. If you don't want to do that, you can go to wherever you own the stock or go to your broker at your brokerage account, say TD Ameritrade, put the stock symbol in there, click on it, and it will come up with a similar chart, and it will show you the dividend, how much that dividend is or that yield is. Remember, if you're an income investor, your biggest concern is the yield, the amount of money. So you get paid the annual dividend or the annual yield is a calculation on the dividend that it pays per share against the price that the stock is selling for. And it comes up with a percentage. Now that percentage, as you can imagine, changes every day slightly as the stock goes up or down. But that's how you would do it and take a look at that. All right, let me go to Marie. Marie's calling us from Oklahoma. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I am a partner.
Thank you.
And really enjoy it. My question, I have two questions.
Okay.
Your income stocks.
Yes.
Are those for anybody to invest in or just people with income portfolios?
No, anybody can invest in those. As a matter of fact, some of those income stocks are both blue, highlighted in blue and yellow. They might have yellow text in blue highlight. And that means it's foundational stock. And so there are a number of people that own foundational stocks. There are also some other ones that are highlighted in blue for people in an income portfolio, but they are also just good growth and income stocks in maybe industrials or materials or energy or utilities. So any, you can add those always. The goal there for me was to show people that are strictly income investors to make it a little bit easier to find the stocks. And that's why we've highlighted those in blue. But if that particular stock fits into one of your asset allocations for your asset allocation models, then no, that's perfectly okay to own those.
Okay. Okay, good. See, the other question is, I didn't tell you, I'm 60 years old,
okay.
But I'll probably work at least another 8, maybe 10.
Okay.
And so I split the time. My portfolio is like partially funded. It's not fully funded. So mm-hmm. I should keep trying to fill the sectors till that's fully funded. Keep doing that.
Yes. That would be the ideal thing to do is just, you know, each month or, you know, as you contribute a little money that you would go to a sector that is you have nothing in, take a little bit of a position in that. And then the next time, go to the next sector. Now, there may be some sectors that I don't have anything on my buy list. There isn't right now, I don't believe. Oh, there might be one. But, you know, then you just pass over that. But, yeah, just do it gradually. And then once you get through, now you have a little bit of something in every sector, then you basically just start over again. And, you know, keep building that way. And that's the best way to do it.
Okay. So it is best to, like, fully fund one sector if you have, like, say, three stocks. I've heard you say 3 to 5.
Right.
Or companies in each sector. So fully fund one before you, like, do another. Don't do, like, one in one sector, one in another, and one, you know, like, spread them out. Like.
I wouldn't say fully fund it necessarily. So let's say you're putting in $1,000. $1,000 might not be enough to fully fund the sector, and that's okay. I would just get, so you might want to just take one position in that sector, and then next time around, you could take another, a new position, and get a little bit closer to fully funding it. So I wouldn't say, hey, you got to get all three or four, positions in one sector right away. I wouldn't worry about that. I would just go gradually building that.
Okay. Well, and with things kind of good right now, is it like, should you still kind of divide it and do some this month, some next month? Or like, is it, are things too high right now to, you know, get in? Or I don't know.
No, I think you stay on the program, stay on the discipline that you've already started, where every month you're putting a little bit in. And I'm okay with that, even right now. But I would still stick to that. I would still be gradually getting a little bit in over the next several months, because
okay.
That's going to give you an opportunity to buy a couple sectors probably when things aren't so high, when things maybe take a dip, and that's the idea.
Okay. My other question, my 401k right now, before I heard you talk about bond funds are not good, I was doing I've got like 75% in the 2030 fund, and then 25% is in the Bond Fund of America. It's not,
yeah.
It's American funds, which I know you don't like that either. But should I take the 25% that's in the Bond Fund of America and just move all of it into the 2030?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Or put it in some other thing. Just move it all in 2030.
Yes. Absolutely. Don't do anything else. So all you should have is the 2030.
Okay. All right.
All right, Marie. Thank you. I'm glad you called. Thank you for your partnership. Sure, appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, we'll be right back after this. 610-363-1110.
Tis the season to pack a shoebox. Operation Christmas Child drop-off locations open soon, so don't wait. By filling an empty shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items, you can send the good news of Jesus Christ to a child in need around the world. Drop off your gift at one of our nearly 5,000 locations nationwide during National Collection Week, November 18th through the 25th. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and find a drop-off location near you.
For well over a century, secular progressives in the United States have worked to alter the very nature of our republic.
Progressives had no problem with saying we can leave the Declaration of Independence behind. For the progressives, there are no longer any God-given natural rights.
AFA Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano helps you understand the progressive threat to the American Republic. Get your copy of this powerful DVD from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Are you concerned about the future? The AFA Foundation can help. End-of-year giving allows you to offset your current taxable income, providing you with valuable tax savings on this year's return. And your generous gift will help further the mission of AFA to inform, equip, and motivate people in the culture war for years to come. Through the AFA Foundation, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association by helping individuals and families leave a legacy to help stem the tide of secularism and rebuild our Christian foundations. As the end of the year approaches, carefully considering what to give and when to give it can increase the impact of your gift while still meeting your own needs as well. For example, with a cash donation, your itemized tax return may allow you to receive up to the full value of your charitable gift. Contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, at our website, afafoundation.net, or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Is it biblically?
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Yeah, Ron on Facebook says, looking forward to seeing me tomorrow night in Waco. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Ron. Thanks for coming out. I'm glad you're going to be there. Sure, appreciate that. Brian says, Dan, on Friday, when Trump was talking with the press, he said the stock market shot up when the transcripts from the Ukraine were released. Is there any possibility, was it possible, that the transcripts had an effect on the market? No. There wasn't. I don't want to say there was no possibility, but I don't think the transcripts. Look, I said this a couple of weeks ago. The markets are generally right. The markets are very smart. The markets are very intuitive. Keep it simple, I'll call it a witch hunt. The whole thing here is not impacting the markets. It's not really not. I said that when it first started. I said this is not going to impact the markets. The markets, first of all, they have no confidence whatsoever in the Democratic Party to be able to do anything. They like it, if anything else, because the market is full of Republicans and traders, and they're saying this is great because Democrats continue to build themselves a bigger hole, and that's a good thing for the markets. So it has no effect on it. It was likely, not likely, it definitely was the job numbers. It was an amazing job number. It beat far more than it looked like it beat on the surface, because you got to remember that September's number was adjusted up 95,000 jobs. So it was really a over 200,000 jobs report when you take in the revision of September. It was an amazing number. So that's what it was for certain, Brian. Good question. Dan, new partner, full partner, 65 and up portfolio. Most of our money in IRAs. We have Fidelity account, and I've put $50,000 in cash into the market. How do we get the IRA money in the market? And how do we invest the IRA and the status and all that kind of... Look, you can't be... The status of IRA money can't be removed. But you say you have an account at Fidelity. You should also have an IRA account at Fidelity so that that IRA money can be put in that. You can't intermingle. You can't co-mingle those two funds. They're separate accounts. You just start investing the IRA money just like you're investing the other money. Make sure that you are following the asset allocation model for the entire amount of money. So when you're using the portfolio tracker, it's the entire amount of money that you are lining up with the asset allocation model. It's all one pot of money. That's how you have to look at it, even though it's in two different accounts. But you invest the IRA money just like you're investing the other money in the Fidelity account. I would suggest that you put that also in Fidelity just for the simple reason is you'll have them both in the same place. You'll get one statement that'll show both accounts, and it'll make life a little bit easier. All right, let me go to Kay. Kay's calling us from Texas. Hey, Kay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to ask, is there ever a time that it is okay or advisable to continue a 10-year whole life annuity?
I would say if you need, if there is a need for a death benefit, in other words, somebody is going to suffer a financial hardship as a result of the death of someone, then it may be after 10 years to keep that going, or after a long period of time to keep that going for the death benefit, particularly if somebody is unhealthy. So that would be one reason. That may be the only reason I can think of right now off the top of my head. If you are more focused on what is the perceived investment side of it than you are the death benefit side of it, and you're doing it as an investment for, let's say, your retirement or income down the road, then there are far better things that you can do. So I go back to what I always say. If you want life insurance, get some term insurance, go to a life insurance company. If you want an investment, don't go to a life insurance company or don't go to a bank, go to an investment company. So whatever you have in that whole life annuity, whatever investments are in there, usually they are allowed to use certain mutual funds. They pay that mutual fund to be able to use them. You pay for that as well. Whatever it is, you can go in the exact same mutual funds with the exact same amount of money, and you will outperform dramatically what you're doing in the whole life policy. So I would say the only reason is that death benefit aspect.
Perfect. Exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
All right, Kay. Thank you. Glad you called. Folks, let's see, Dan, new member. Okay, I got that. Janet saying, my husband, 61, has an old 401k frozen due to 401k matching funds, so on and so forth, and set up with the employer. We hear you mention Timothy Plan. If that 401k can be transferred, will we be able to put these funds into Timothy? Yes, and you should do that. Never, ever, ever forget the whole frozen, non-frozen, active, whatever. If you have an old 401k that you are no longer participating in, always, always, always move it to a IRA account. So you have to open an IRA account, say at Fidelity, and move it over there. And then in Fidelity, you can use those Timothy ETFs. You can use the Timothy mutual funds, but always move it because you want to have options. So because you want to have options and you need options, you always want to move it. So yes, move it over. The Fidelity, I think that's what you said, right? Yes. The Fidelity account, folks, they will help you if you need some to get some questions answered in reference to, they have a transfer form. on their site that you can fill out. They will handle the move. They'll handle the transfer. They'll handle the old 401k coming over to the new IRA. They'll help you do you just really got to fill out the form and sign it, but they'll walk you through that. But that's what you want to do for certain. Mark is asking a 44-year-old daughter who wanted to get out of Edward Jones and move the 401k to TD Ameritrade. Would it be advisable to move into Timothy ETFs to start? I think it would be a great way to start, definitely. I don't know how much money it is, Mark, but I suspect, she just might be kind of starting. But it may be, enough money that just the two Timothy ETFs, there might be some added diversification that would be a good idea, but it really depends on how large the portfolio is. But I would say definitely start. She is wise to do that. I think it's a good move to get it out of TD Ameritrade and or get it out of Edward Jones. Even if they say they'll do the ETFs, I would still move, because why pay a fee to do what you already know you want to do? And I would just go, and at this point, probably divide it up evenly between the two ETFs. So I think that's a great idea. By the way, those ETFs have had a great, great week this week. It's exciting to see that. But, our financial issues family, we were really fortunate because we got in early with those ETFs, and I am hoping that we will have the privilege of being able to know in advance and do that again next year on the other ETFs yet to come out for Timothy. So I'm really excited about that. And hopefully we can make that move as well early on for people that are just getting started as they are coming out. And I think that's always a good thing. So anyway, but I think that's a great idea, Mark. I think she ought to do it. Make sure when she changes it that it is still a contributory IRA if it's an IRA account. You don't say it is. Maybe it's just an investment account. Oh, no, 401k. So make sure it remains contributory so that she can continue on a weekly, monthly basis to be able to add a few dollars every month. So make sure you do that. Folks, I'll remind you again, I hope I see you in Waco tomorrow evening. If you live anywhere near Waco, Texas, I hope you're coming out. 610-363-1110. Our phone lines, but we're shutting them down because I'm running out. So I'm headed. Again, all the flights have changed. So our flights have changed again, and we lost our 2:30 flight. Delta decided to cancel that. So we have to run a little bit earlier than we might to make this next flight. So we've got some great stuff coming up that I know is going to be edifying for you. So make sure you stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. And tomorrow I'll be broadcasting live from Waco. So make sure you're with us for that. Thank you for being with us. We sure do appreciate it. Have a great day. God bless. I hope I see some of you tomorrow night.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.